Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
Well, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness. If I cough, I will make sure to turn off the mic and for sitting this morning, but I'm still recovering a little bit from pneumonia, and so this is where I'm at. But I cannot believe that we've been doing this for 3 years. November 7th, 2021 was the day we launched. How many were here on that day? November 7th, 2021. Yeah, some of you, a good bit of you even. And by the way, we go back and forth on the language. Anniversary or birthday. And I've asked people which one sounds right and gotten different answers, but I think I really like birthday because we're three, and I have a three-year-old. And a new church is so much like a toddler. We have strong opinions on what we like and what we don't like sometimes, and we're learning and growing and figuring it out. And you can't totally hold us to the same standard as a 25-year-old or a 50-year-old church, right? We're just a toddler church. We wear 3T, guys, right? We're just little still. But I was saying, I cannot believe we've done this for so long at the same time. And at times it still feels like we're just getting started. Last week when Jared was here, if you were here for that, with his comments, I had this feeling of what it was like to just now be getting started. And I loved it. I loved that feeling coming back to me. He reminded us, you are starting someone's home church. You are starting someone's home church. That was his message. And it's one that I'm going to piggyback off of this morning. I'm not going to exegete a text this morning. It's not going to be your normal sermon for me. So all the people in the video that said they love that about this church, sorry, you're going to hate this morning. It's just going to be a little bit different. So we launched in 2021, and that was such a fun and exciting time. A new church plant, a launch Sunday. Man, you cannot replicate that. You cannot replicate that feeling. You cannot replicate that energy. I've been part of a few of them now, and you always know the first Sunday and even the first month will be almost in no way indicative of what the church is going to be. We had 115 people, I believe, on that first Sunday. That makes this room pretty full. Many of them were well-wishers and just curious people, and we had catered Mexican food, I remember, and we were just kind of setting the precedent that we set the precedent early that we're going to eat together often, right? And since that meal, I did some math, and we've eaten together at least 72 times, right? But in the beginning, it wasn't the first and third Sunday. It was every other Sunday. So I'm going to guess we've had about 80 meals together on Sundays in this room. 80 times we've brought the tables out and turned the chairs around and stained the carpet, and it's been awesome. It just feels like part of our way of life, right? There's a meal afterward every first and third Sunday. It just feels good. It feels right. It feels like part of our DNA. And I often think with those meals, I think, oh man, I need to catch up with so-and-so. Oh, well, we have a meal this Sunday. I can catch up with them then. We'll have extra time. Or maybe you've said to somebody, you should come to church with me this week specifically. We have a meal afterwards. Or when new people come, I'm prone to say, hey, I'm so glad you're here, but you really have to come back at least one more time. You got to come back next week because there's a meal, and that's so much part of our life together. You can't really understand the church unless you're here for a meal. We would love for you to be here for that. I remember, and I've talked about this multiple times, and some of you are here for part of this, but there's this season in our life, my family's life, called Taco Tuesday. Anybody ever at a Taco Tuesday? The Nigro's house? Yeah. We did this thing called Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday is where we made white people tacos at our house and invited people to come eat them with us. And white people tacos, by that I just mean like ground beef with taco seasoning, cheese, lettuce, onions, tomatoes. Nothing authentic, right? Nothing. You would not like feel like you were in Mexico in my dining room, right? And that's what we'd have, and some margaritas. That was it. And it was open invite. Open invite at our house. This might give some of y'all a little bit of anxiety, open invite. Like, we didn't know who was coming, totally. We would meet new people who didn't know us, and suddenly they're in our house eating tacos in our house. It's not big. And people came to this open invite meal. Do you know one Tuesday we had 31 people at my house? Can you imagine 31 people showing up at your house? You don't know how many are coming. Some of them are, you don't even know them, right? Certainly close to a fire code violation at our house. And we had all sorts of things happen in those days. It was messy. We had ground beef on the wall on like a handprint from a kid. We got rid of that wall, but the stain was there until the day it was torn down. We had acquaintances become friends. We met someone who was just a friend of a friend that got invited, who we went to be with on the day that she had surgery, all because she came to eat white people tacos at our house, right? We had people see each other week after week and become close. We had someone once somehow literally, they used our bathroom and it looked like they emptied a lawnmower into our bathroom, and we don't wear shoes into our house. We're like, you know, it's the end of the night. We're like, what happened in this room? We had a couple things, if I'm honest, we had a couple things go missing from our house. If you open up your home, it's gonna get messy. We felt connection with people and they felt connected to us. Some people contributed to the meal. Some people just came and ate. We didn't care either way. It was busy, and it was messy, and it was hard work, and it was tiresome, and it was rewarding, and it was fulfilling, and it was fun. And then eventually COVID hit, and we brought that beautiful season that was Taco Tuesday to a pause, and then it made a resurgence for a brief moment before we put it to rest when we became parents. Will it come back? Maybe one day. The Taggarts, they are always asking us to bring it back. They love Taco Tuesday. It was a fun season of our lives. And by the way, if somebody's hearing this morning and they're like, that sounds amazing, I would love 31 people to show up at my house. Dan, I can tell, is really strongly reacting to this idea. See me afterwards. I'd love to share with you how we did it, and maybe you could carry on the dream of Taco Tuesday. But I think Taco Tuesday gave us so much inspiration for this church and what this church would be. Taco Tuesday was built on what this church is built on. So depending on how long you've been here, that's about how often you've heard it. We go back to it over and over again. Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." "Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." This story is the story that we've built our mission statement on as a church, which I really like. We didn't build our mission statement on a theological treatise, but on something that Jesus said in a narrative. And what Jesus said is that he's come to seek and save the lost. And so our mission at the table is to join Jesus in his mission of seeking and saving the lost. But as I've thought about the table or the act of eating together, what I've come to realize is the power of it is in the invite. The power of it is in the invite. Eating together is different than other things because it is so invitation-oriented. You don't ask somebody to live next door to you. That's like, you know, you can have a neighbor relationship, but you don't invite someone into that relationship. You don't ask someone to be your coworker necessarily, right? But we say things like, "Do you want to go get food?" Or, "You can sit with us." Or, "Oh, let's order a pizza. You want to go grab sushi Friday night? Let's grab a drink and watch the Thursday night football game at Roosters." Or, "Hey, we have this meal at my house every Tuesday. Do you want to come?" Or, "Hey, this guy I know has this meal at his house every Tuesday. You want to come? I know you don't know him, but you want to come?" The meal is always invitational. And what do we see in the Zacchaeus narrative? Jesus being invitational. Yeah, we've pointed out Jesus is inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house, which is kind of funny, right? But Jesus is inviting Zacchaeus to the table. He's inviting him to a seat, into a meal, into fellowship. And Zacchaeus is shocked. Have you ever had that experience? Ever get an invite you couldn't believe? Maybe as a kid you weren't so popular. Can't relate, sorry. And then you got that invite to the lunch table, and now you don't sit alone anymore. You couldn't believe it. Or maybe you got that invite to a birthday party. Some kids maybe invited their whole class, like you're told you're supposed to. But in general, you just invite your friends. And maybe you never got invited until the day that you did. An invite can change things. In high school, I had a friend of mine who was just kind of living for himself, which is typical of high school people, I think, and often people in general, right? And he and I were good friends. We played video games together all the time. We played basketball in his backyard. I kept track of our one-on-one record in his backyard. I was 200 and something and 0 against him in one-on-one back in the day. He's not here to defend himself. That might be a thing of legend, but the zero on his end is not. That is factual. And this friend of mine, he knew I was a Christian, and he had started to think about Christianity a bit. He'd started to think about eternity. He started to wonder what would happen to him if he died. Normal 17-year-old thoughts, you know? And he wanted to talk. And we found a table. We went to the local McDonald's, and we sat for a few hours, and we talked about it. And it wasn't a seal-the-deal kind of conversation, because so much of the journey to following Jesus isn't that kind of conversation. As Christians, we're not used car salesmen that slap the hood and say, this baby will get you to heaven easy. Sign on the dotted line. No, we sit. We talk. We eat and we drink and we listen. We invite. For me and this friend, he was already invited to a front row seat to my life. We were together all the time. He saw me following Jesus, however I was following Jesus in that season, probably not even that well. But I continued to invite him more and more. Hey, I have this youth group I go to. It meets on Wednesday night. They talk about Jesus there if you want to keep hearing more. Would you want to come? He'd love to, he said. And it was there. I don't know if it was the first night or if it was the fifth night or something in between. But I knelt with that friend at a chair like this one, a cushiony church chair. I knelt with him on the ground, and I helped him form a first prayer asking Jesus to rescue him and make him his own. And what happened? What became of this friend? He went to college, a school where Christianity certainly isn't promoted. Oh, you, oh, yeah, right? And his faith stood the test of those 4 years. He was plugged in with ministries, and he served the homeless there. And then he went to seminary. And now he's been in pastoral ministry for over 10 years. I just invited him. That's all I did. Come with me and hear about this Jesus that I've come to love and I'm learning to live like, and we'll process it together along the way. Another friend of mine whose story I've told before, he was in college. I was just starting college. We worked together since I was in high school at a little diner. And one night he called and he left me a voicemail. He was a little inebriated for sure. The next morning I wake up and I get this voicemail on a Sunday morning before church. And he's just telling me how he's miserable and how I'm clearly not. And I have something that he doesn't have access to, but he wants it. He wants to hear more. There's this joy that eludes him that he wants to find out how to get. I said, sure, let's talk about it. Again, not a used car salesman, because Jesus doesn't seem to approach people like commission opportunities either. So I talked to this guy, and I talked to this guy this week, and I asked him, what do you remember about that time? It was 20 years ago. And he tried to remember. The first thing he said is, I'm trying to remember what you invited me to first, because that's what I did. You want to talk about Jesus? You want to know more? I'll talk about Jesus with you, of course. I'm not ashamed in any way to do that. But do you want to keep hearing more? Well, on Sundays, I go to church in the morning at the church I grew up at. You might not like it very much. It's pretty formal, but you should come. Then we play softball double headers with the guys from that church. You should definitely play. And then at night, I go to my college church up in Canton. I think you'd like that one. You should come to that. You're welcome to all that stuff, any or all of it. And he did. Now, as a 30-something with children, that level of invite is not sustainable, right? I cannot have a Sunday like that now, for sure. But in that season of our lives, it made so much sense. He regularly says, I'd give anything to go back and relive one of those Sundays. Church, softball, lunch, church, and 35 minutes each way driving to that church at night to have great conversations. Dinner probably on the way home. I remember getting rallies sometimes. Rallies, very underrated fast food, right? And that guy today, he's a follower of Jesus. He's still a follower of Jesus. That is what that's what happens when we invite people. When we invite people around the table, when we invite people into our lives, both our individual lives and our corporate life as a church, things change for people. You saw it in that video. People said, this is my place. These are my people. This is a place where anyone's welcome. This is a place where we can approach the scriptures with both reverence and curiosity and grow in our apprenticeship and discipleship to Jesus. I said, I hope I'm sitting around a table with you guys with a plate and a cup for decades. Why? Because you've invited me back. You've invited me into your lives too. What happened in the stories that I just told you? Two people transformed by the power of God at work through an invitational person. Not a person with all the answers. I am not that now, and I was far less that then, for sure. But I was willing to invite them. There's power in being willing to just invite someone in. Hey, here's what I know about Jesus, right? That's kind of evangelism in a rudimentary sense. And here's where I go to regularly encounter him among his people to hear more about him. I'd love to have you. Oh, and you're welcome in my life around the tables I spend my time around as much as possible, as much as you want. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to his house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. Do you see what happens when Jesus just invites Zacchaeus? He hasn't even sat down with Zacchaeus yet. He just invites Zacchaeus. It doesn't always happen like this for us, but for Zacchaeus, he changes instantly. This tax collector sinner guy, hated by his countrymen because he sided with their oppressor to make a buck off them. And Jesus doesn't care. He just makes dinner plans. And judgmental people are going to judge, but Zacchaeus, that invite changes him. He repents. I'm going to get rid of the money I've made off my people. I'll pay them back four times what I took from them. They'll actually benefit from your work in my life, Jesus. And Jesus says it. Salvation has come to this house. He's found rescue in Jesus. To use the evangelical verbiage, he got saved, didn't he? All from an invite. So 3 years into being the table here in Uniontown, we've seen awesome things happen. We've seen an incredible community group take off that's super vibrant, doing stuff and kind of become a model for what we want groups to look like here. I've had people tell me personally things like, I've never experienced anything like what I've experienced here before. People are less lonely and closer to God and others because of the table. Greg got baptized this year. Many of you came out and supported him. Look at that. It was a beautiful day. It was a perfect day. That's a big deal. People have loved each other well here. People have loved Sarah and I well. I cannot begin to tell you the way Sarah and I and our kids have been loved by this church. No church has ever been this good to us. Dare I say, no church has ever been this good to their pastor. It's been really moving to experience it here. I love this church. I love the direction we're headed. There's not a church I'd rather be a part of. Jarrett said it so well last week. Whether you joined us pre-launch or you joined us this year, we started your home church. We started your home church. And you being here and creating a culture and welcoming people, you're continuing to create someone's home church. Jared talked about last week the church that he came from and how it wasn't perfect, that he said the preaching was kind of weak. There were all sorts of issues, but they were faithful to a call. And they went from 12 people in a living room to a fully functional church in a building where Jared's family would be invited and he would interact with the gospel of God's grace and get saved, become a Christian, answer the call to ministry, and one day come and preach here. He said he's one of thousands of people who will be in heaven one day because of that church. And I'm sure if you asked him to break down that statement, he doesn't mean thousands of people went to that church and responded and got saved there. He's saying because that church existed, some people came to follow Jesus, and those people took Jesus seriously and invited other people to follow Jesus. And so thousands were saved, thousands of people in heaven because of that church. So where do we go from here? 3 years in. Next week will officially be a three-year-old church. What would I like to see from the table in this next year? I want you to understand and wield well the power of the invite. Today we saw in my life the power that invites have played in bringing people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Those are two real testimonials. I lived those stories. And I didn't do some super complex, theological, deep evangelism. I wasn't your pastor back then. I was some knucklehead 17-year-old and 19-year-old kid that just knew enough to know Jesus was worth everything. And I just invited people along to that. We saw in the story of Zacchaeus the power of the invite. We even saw a video of people that you rub shoulders with here, all because someone invited them. Kayla was invited by someone who isn't even here. Dan and Katrina's son Josiah was invited by someone who wasn't even here, and then Dan and Katrina came because of that. Jeannie and the Spickards, the Taggarts, invited them. Chris and Chrissy were invited by somebody who doesn't even go here. They're invited to a different church by my brother-in-law, and we cut the power to that church evermore, and so they had to come here, and now they're here. You're here because you have found something of great value to yourself at this church. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. There are plenty of other things to do on a Sunday morning. There are plenty of other options for your life. And it's a value to you. Why wouldn't you share it with others? So I want you to ask yourself this morning, how can I begin to take an invitational posture? Who am I going to invite? Who has God been placing on my heart to invite? And we want to make it doable for you. So next week, I'll have invite cards printed for our Advent season. They'll be here by next week, and you can take a couple. They'll have information for our Advent season, when our meals are, our kids' Christmas party, our Christmas Eve service. Be easy to take two of them. Take them to school. Take them to work and say, hey, I love this place. It's meant a lot to me. And if you're looking for a place that's kind of chill, not really judgy feeling, and hopefully will bring all the good Christmas nostalgia that a church can bring. That's on me. I'll try to help facilitate that. You should come. And we have a meal on the first and third Sundays. You could sit with me. It's that easy. It can be that easy. We want to be invitational. That's why we have the Low Country Boil, which is an incredible event to invite people to. It's fun. It's different. There's no pressure. People can get comfortable here by coming to that. You might hear, they could say like, oh yeah, I met some people from that church. They seem fun, not wound too tight. Maybe I could go to the Sunday thing there. And if you haven't come to that in the past because maybe you're scared of crawfish or something, please come next year. Even if you don't like seafood, this is an opportunity to invite people to one day possibly walk through these doors and hear the gospel. If you want to get McDonald's beforehand and bring it and just come hang out, that's fine. We'd love to have you. Bring friends though, please. Or just come and eat chicken, right? We'll make sure not to cross-contaminate. Jennifer can, she's very allergic to seafood, and she survived this year's Low Country. Maybe we need a shirt. I survived the 2024 Low Country Boil. That's why we moved the pancake breakfast this week. I want to make inviting people more of a priority. I want you all to commit to come as far as you're able, January 18th. Let's make this church full on that day. Then Thanksgiving. So excited for Thanksgiving. I can't say it right, but I'm so excited for it. Commit to being there. I know it's a Thursday night and you work and it gets dark early and maybe you want to settle in at home. But there are people who would maybe never come to church on a Sunday who would love to come to a Thanksgiving dinner with their friend. There are people who maybe don't get a good home-cooked Thanksgiving meal who would love that experience. Commit to being here. And then ask yourself, who am I going to invite? If next week or the week after I give you a card with our Christmas schedule, could you prayerfully consider inviting someone? I love this church. I love you all. But I love this church and this gospel so much that I want to share it with as many people as possible. And I'm not giving you a direction I'm not willing to take myself. I'll be inviting people too. But who better to invite your friends to something? Who better to co-sign for a church to them than you, the person they already trust? We say this all the time, that if Luke 19:10 is the mission of God, then the vision for accomplishing it is the other Son of Man came statement in Luke, found in chapter 7, verses 34 and 35. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. It's what he did. He did it often enough that they called him a glutton and a drunkard, both of which he is not, because those are sinful things. He wasn't sinful. But they do call him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And that is true. He does hang out with the crowd that is not your Sunday school class, probably. We call that here forming redemptive relationships, loving people so much that you must befriend them. You must invite them to a space around a table so that perhaps they would encounter Jesus and organize their lives around him, trusting in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And then Jesus says this, wisdom is vindicated or justified by her children. This is like the modern, the proof is in the pudding. Jesus is saying this works. Judgmental religious people question how often I sit around a table with food and drink and people who don't who don't have it all together yet, but they will not be able to deny that it works. If tomorrow this church folded and God called me to plant again, I would plant another church focused on the table. It's the only way I can make sense of Jesus' life. I'd bet on his methods. Will you? Michelle, you can come up. Will you make this year at the table the most invitational one yet for you? How many new people can we have come through these doors so that they might find their new home church? If I arm you with an invite card or two, will you pray over it and take seriously the opportunity you have to potentially change a life with an invite? When you see an event like our Thanksgiving dinner, our Low Country Boil, a pancake breakfast, will you strategically consider how to leverage that event for someone's eternal destiny? Someone could end up with abundant life because you invited them to try a crawfish. I mean, I worked with Church League softball with my friend. God could use a crawfish for yours. I am daring you to be relentlessly invitational this year, and I cannot wait to hear and recap the stories of how God used your willingness to do so next year when we celebrate our fourth birthday. So as we close this morning, we remember the one who first invited us to his table to have fellowship with him. Jesus, who on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and after he gave thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is a new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." We take communion every week by taking the bread and dipping it in the cup. You can find communion towards the back on my left. You can find gluten-free communion towards the back on my right. My friend Randy will be over here against this wall, available to pray for you if you need somebody to lay a hand on you and just pray for you. He'd love to come alongside you and do that. But as you prepare to take communion, I just want you to sit with the Lord for a minute, maybe remembering and giving thanks for the invite you accepted that brought you to a church or a Bible study or whatever that eventually turned into a life-changing relationship with Jesus that you still enjoy today. Secondly, I want you to maybe ask here and now in this moment, who is it, Lord, that you would have me invite? And to what? A Sunday morning, this Advent season, my small group, my Bible study, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas Eve, ask the Lord for direction in this. And I think the Holy Spirit will lead you. So I'm going to pray, and then you're free to take communion whenever you're ready. Father, I'm just grateful for this church for 3 years. I'm grateful for the lives that you've changed through people being invitational, both in my life, here, for the stories people here know, for people's own stories here of just being invited into something and it leading to an encounter with you. May we take seriously and joyfully the opportunity to invite people around a table where they might experience you through our fellowship. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another. Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.